This is the Mason Vera Payne Show,
your go-to lifestyle podcast covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond.
Brought to you from Chicago, USA,
with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne. Thank you for tuning in. So today, award-winning science writer, journalist, and author Louisa Oakley Green is joining me to talk about her new book, Sightseeing in the Undiscovered Country, Tales Retold by a Psychic Bystander. Well, thank you for joining me, Louisa.
Well, thank you for having me on.
I was reading that you are a science writer and a journalist, right?
I am.
So how did you go from being almost fact-based to writing about ghosts?
Well, more than 20 years ago, I met this very nice young man and fell in love, and we got married, and I came to find out that not only is he psychic, but so is a good part of his family. It tends to run in families.
Wow.
So at first I didn't pay too much attention to that. I thought it was, you know, charming and quirky, but I didn't really believe in it. But over the years, I've seen and experienced things that have slowly made me kind of open up and be more open-minded about the whole thing. And I write about it because it fascinates me.
You said you experienced it. What did you experience?
Well, I think the first thing that happened that made me go, oh, wait, maybe there's something to this, was at my father's funeral. And it wasn't the day of the funeral. It was a week later that something happened that really blew me away, but I have to set it up by telling you what happened the day of the funeral. I had helped plan the funeral, for my mother, and of course you don't think very clearly when you're doing that, and I invited a minister who had been at the church where we grew up, not realizing that it was 20 or 30 years later, and this gentleman was long retired, but his wife was thrilled that somebody remembered him, so she sent him out. And he was there to officiate at the funeral, and I was at the wake sitting between my husband and my mother, and the minister said, everyone sit down, I'd like to say a few words. And it was soon after he started talking that I think everyone started to realize that he had lost his focus. And, of course, he was such a nice gentleman, we didn't want to be rude, so we all just kind of sat there. And after about 15 minutes of this, my husband leans over and says into my ear, I see your father standing next to the minister. He's tapping his foot, and his arms are crossed, and he looks very impatient. Well, this is certainly not unlike my father. He was the type of guy who didn't, you know, like to waste time.
Right.
So that in itself didn't really impress me, because anybody can say something, and you just have to take their word or not. But that day, we really didn't have time to talk to anyone, because so many people had showed up. We would just say, hi, thank you for coming, and that's about it. About a week later, my brother-in-law, who had not spoken to us, called up and said, Louisa, I didn't want to say anything the day of the funeral, but I just wanted you to know that while the minister was talking, I saw your father standing next to him, his arms were crossed, and he was tapping his foot, and he looked very impatient.
Wow.
Now, hearing that from two separate people who had not spoken to each other, I just kind of sat there stunned. And I thought, wow, you know, I've been kind of narrow-minded. Maybe there's something to this.
Now, you know, you say, how hard is it to believe? I know that one instance, but, you know, I think everybody has one instance. But now you are a true believer, right?
Well, let's just say I think there's something out there. I don't know what it is. I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I think part of the human experience is that there is a psychic energy world out there, and it fascinates me.
Do you think that there are good ghosts or bad ghosts, or is it just like a neutral ghost thing?
I think that most spirits out there are positive. They're there to encourage you, to support you, to share in your victories. They attend birthday parties, weddings, things like this. And there are also a very small percentage, but they're out there, of not so pleasant energies. And I don't know if you have the time, but I could tell you a story about one of them.
Yeah, by all means, go ahead.
Okay, this is a story, and I should say I'm a journalist. I take down people's stories. I don't try to tell people whether to believe them or put a spin on it. I just tell their stories. And this was a young lady from England, and this is a story of when Lee was 16 years old, and she and her family moved to a rental home in Tunstall, which is in northern England. And the one thing that they discovered was that something evil was in their basement, but it took them a while to clarify that, and that's what this story is about. Lee says that when they first moved into the house, she had a real bad feeling about the basement, and she told her parents, "I don't want to go down there. I just have a bad feeling about that place." And they said, "Well, you don't have to go into the basement. We're just using it to store things." So for a while, it wasn't an issue. Then, of course, this is the type of things that happens when you're growing up with siblings.
Mm-hmm.
She and her brother were playing a game called Truth or Dare, which people, you know, it was made famous by Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost, and her brother said, "I dare you to go down to the basement with no flashlight."
Oh, geez.
Okay, this is like something from a bad horror movie.
Yes, it is. I could just see it getting worse.
Oh, it does. It does. So she said, "Well, I didn't want to do it, but it was my brother, and I wasn't going to let him get the better of me. So I went downstairs, and even though there was no light, I saw a dark figure sitting on one of the boxes." So she screamed and raced back up the steps, which I think is a very normal reaction. I would probably do more than that.
Yes, definitely.
And she said to her brother, "There's someone in the basement. I don't want to go down there again." So he got a flashlight, went down to the basement, and he didn't see a thing.
Oh, wow.
Of course, that makes her feel great. So she did her best to avoid the basement until one day her parents were giving a party, and they said, "Hey, we stored, you know, the punch bowl downstairs. We need for you to go out down there and get it." So she's like, "All right." Because she had never told her parents what she had seen. So she went down to the basement, and this time she saw a figure, the same figure, with a woman in his arms, and she looked like she was dead. He laid her on the floor and started digging a hole.
Oh, my God.
Now, she got what she had to get and went right back upstairs, and she didn't say anything to her parents. But she decided that she was going to shut that door really tight, and she was never going to go back to the basement again. Unfortunately, later that night, she heard a scratching noise in the house that made her jump. So she went over to the basement door and found it open. When she looked at the door and the walls, there were scratch marks everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And she thought, "Wow, what's causing that?" And her brother saw the scratch marks all over the door, and he was kind of puzzled. So he went down, and he saw someone in the basement, and now he believed her. And both of them now decided it was time to talk to their parents. But as she said in her wonderful English accent, they would have none of it. Now, this is where I can't believe her guts, that part comes in. She decides one day when she's alone in the house to communicate with the entity using a Ouija board.
Oh, God.
Do not recommend this, folks.
No. Oh, geez.
Okay. So she said, "Whoever's in the basement, tell me your name." And it spelled out the name Mark. So she took that name, and she went to the local library to read old newspapers and try to figure out if anyone named Mark had ever lived in the home where she was, because it was an old home. She found that there was a man named Mark Thomas who lived in the house in 1917. He had brutally murdered his girlfriend and buried her in the basement. When she saw a photo of the girlfriend, she looked exactly like herself.
Oh, whoa. I would have been
Needless
so scared.
Needless to say, her parents decided they were going to move.
Yeah, now they believe.
Yeah, but it's you don't think that things like this happen because it sounds too much like a cheesy horror movie, but this young lady was very sincere in sharing this with me, and I just thought it was fascinating.
You know, you said that she looked like Mark's, I guess, girlfriend that he murdered.
Correct.
Do you think that certain spirits are attached to either the place, a person, or like a situation? Like if it's a birthday and they're like, "Oh, it's a birthday. I want to be here because I remember it."
Oh, yeah. I think that's quite true. And in fact, there was one study I read by a paranormal researcher, Debbie Chestnut. She spent 25 years investigating house hauntings. And she came up with five reasons that ghosts hang around. And I should say that there are ghosts, people who you don't know, and then the majority of spiritual activity are people that you do know who you love, who are basically surrounding you and still interested in your life in a very positive way. But let's talk about the minority, which is the ghosts who don't know you. Okay, so number one out of five is the home sweet home ghost. And that's a ghost that used to live in your house, and they return because either they don't know they're dead, because it's been said that dying, if you're not doing it on a deathbed, if it happens suddenly, it's it's so subtle that you don't even realize you're dead.
Oh, wow.
Or they may just like hanging out at their house. They just love their house when they were alive. And these ghosts generally follow their usual routines. So you'll hear footsteps, doors opening and closing, water left running, channels changing themselves on the television, and I do have a couple stories about that in the book. Now, these ghosts have a really distinct personality, and they may try to interact with the new residents because they consider themselves one of the residents.
Like a roommate.
Two, landlubbers. You may live in a home that is built on a piece of land that had another home there that was knocked down. And in that case, there may be a ghost who is living in that house that isn't there anymore. And you know this because they walk through walls, they go up staircases that don't exist. And the reason why they do that is because in their old home, there was a doorway there, there were stairs there. So they're still living in that house. But these ghosts never bother you because they have no idea you're there. In their reality, your house and you don't exist.
Oh, okay.
So they're harmless. Number three, construction ghosts. These ghosts usually appear when you try to renovate your house. And they can have one of two reactions most of the time. One would be they're very happy that you're not letting their house go to ruin. They don't want it condemned. And then there's the other type that are angry because they thought their house was perfect, and why are you changing it? And that second type of ghost tends to get unhappy, and they'll move tools and building supplies, and they'll knock over ladders, and generally try to freak out construction crews so they leave. But once the renovations are over, over time they tend to go away. Number four, haunted objects. Now, if your listeners love to go to flea markets and antique shops and buy wonderful old jewelry and toys and furniture and clothing, sometimes you can buy something that's haunted. And the way you know that is that when you bring it home, suddenly paranormal activity starts. And if that paranormal activity starts in the room where that new object is, that object is probably haunted. The only way you can get rid of that ghost is to get rid of the object.
Oh, okay.
And the fifth type of ghost, which really surprised me because I hadn't heard of this one, is called people who are ghost magnets. Now, there are some people who radiate an energy that just happens to attract ghosts. They often can become psychic mediums because of this, because the ghosts just come to them. You can kind of figure out that you're a haunted person if you're in a house that has paranormal activity, so you say, all right, that's it, I'm moving. The next house you move to has just as much paranormal activity, and if you move again, you're still going to have that because it's not the house that's haunted, it's you. So if that's the type of person you are, you have to learn how to draw boundaries and let spirits know, this is the time it's acceptable to communicate with me, and this is the time where you better leave me alone.
You know, the way you talk about this, I love that you're a journalist, you know, at your core. Because you try to take almost an impartial view of this whole thing. Do you think that, you know, spirits and ghosts or whatever you want to call them should be treated as scientific fact rather than an unexplained phenomenon?
I think that they should be treated as scientific theory, like anything else that hasn't been proven, but that is a possibility. It's kind of interesting. One of the people I researched when I was writing my first book was Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell, and she's a neuropsychiatrist who taught at Harvard Medical School. And she wrote this wonderful book called The ESP Enigma. It's a kind of a review of all the scientific studies that have been done on the paranormal, because she wasn't interested in hearsay. She wanted to know what's actually been done to try to prove this. And what she found was that in people who are extremely psychic, like most people have maybe intuition or, you know, an occasional experience, but people who are just really, really psychic, they tend to have a brain and a nervous system that is highly sensitive to energy. And that type of brain and nervous system can be inherited. So if somebody's psychic, you will often see that lots of people in their family have that ability because it's inherited. And although probably like 80 or 90% of people who are very psychic inherited that type of nervous system, a very small percentage of people can also become psychic through trauma. And the examples I like to give of this are, there's a psychic on Long Island named George Anderson. And when he was a child, he got the chicken pox and he had a bad reaction and he ended up with a swollen brain.
Oh, wow.
And they told his family that it was not likely that he would survive, or if he did, he would be severely impaired. Well, he did survive, and he was completely healthy, except there was one difference. When he recovered, he could see dead people as easily as he could see the living.
Oh, wow.
His brain and nervous system antenna had been altered. Another fellow, Joseph McMoneagle, who's very well known for his remote viewing for the U.S. military, was not psychic until he had a near-death experience. And following that, it somehow altered him, and he now was able to view things far away psychically. And a third example is Peter Hurkos, who's a very famous psychic in the Netherlands. And he was just like a normal guy, and, you know, no psychic anything. He was working on the roof one day, fell off the ladder, hit his head, and from that point on, he was psychic.
Wow, that's pretty funny. Oh, not that he fell off the ladder, but that was yeah, the result, yeah. You know, you have all these stories. Where do you get them from? Do people come to you? Do you go looking? I mean, how do you get your stories for your book?
Well, my first book, I started off not writing a book. I was just, I decided I would kind of write down all the things that had happened to my husband over the last 40 years.
Okay.
And for the family. And then I realized, well, wait, half the family is psychic. If I'm really doing this for the family, I have to interview everyone. Started interviewing everyone. And then I had a client who called me and said, so what'd you do this past summer? He's like the CEO of a company. And I said, well, I'm writing this book about psychic experiences. And there was a moment of silence, and I was convinced that he thought I was crazy. I mean, you know, lots of people do think that's crazy. And he said, well, I'm psychic. That's how I run my company. And I was, like, totally shocked. So then I started interviewing him, and then suddenly people were coming to me. I mean, friends and friends of friends, and before I knew it, I had a book. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll just publish it. And the second book came from the fact that lots of people, when my first book came out, said, well, how come you didn't interview me? Will you interview me for your second book? And I hadn't thought of writing a second book. But and then when I went to book signings, people would say, here's my name. When you write your second book, I'd like to share my stories.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
And I also had my email at the end of my first book, and people started emailing me and saying, I've got stories for you. So I don't think I had to work very hard. People just kind of wrote itself. Both of them did.
You know, that is so cool. I love reading these types of books myself. Where is your book available?
It's available on Amazon.com. It's available on BarnesandNobles.com. It can be bought in any bookstore as long as you ask them to order it. Since I'm a relatively new author, they will not have it in stock. But it is available through all the major distributors. And if you want more information on it, you can go to my website, which is www.psychicbystander.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Louisa, for joining me and sharing with me the various stories of psychic and paranormal activity. For additional information about Louisa, visit psychicbystander.com. Follow Louisa on Twitter at psychicbystander. That's PSYCHICBYSTANDR.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening.
Can't wait to hear more?
Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com.
That's MASONVERAPAINE.com.
Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.